Wizard of Whiskey presents Swig and Ramble, a podcast for the modern age. Come for the whiskey, stay for the shit show. Introducing Justin Curry at Wizard of Whiskey, Julia Men at the Wee Tipple. And now, pour yourself a drink and enjoy the show. I know I will.
Welcome back, Ramblers. Here we are today, coming to you live. Not really, because it's recorded, obviously, duh. I gotta say, man, that is an awesome backyard. We're talking with Ian McGregor, and he's the only one I can see. Him and his just stellar backyard. Like, think Kevin Costner movie, pretty much any movie or show he does. That's this backyard. That's this space. Mountains in the background. I have a feeling just a moose is just going to walk up and, like, lick your head or something. I'm not even sure what's going on this.
Absolutely.
We're down for it. So as always, we have the illustrious, fantastic, newly married Julia Men with us.
Congrats.
Thanks. And yes, I still kept my last name because, of course.
That's 2024.
She's a modern woman like that. And Sandy's more forgiving than I am. But
I did have a dream the other night where for some reason I couldn't tell someone my actual last name. So I'm like, what last name can I just give them on the fly? Oh, Greco. And I even spelled it for them. And I'm like, oh, there we go.
Nice. It's awesome.
It'll get in there. Now you have a last name in your back pocket.
Yeah, there we go. For all my nefarious doings on.
Yeah.
And we also have with us today, Ian McGregor. The co-founder, co-owner of Farmstead Cider, all the way in Wyoming, which I simply knew as South Canada. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. There's so many great talking points I am very excited to talk with you about, because your whole thing. But before we get to the actual juicy bits, I think we should start with what sours our mash.
Juicy.
Funny. But I'm hilarious and cranky as fuck, because you know what sours my mash this week, guys? I woke up and my eye was fucking swollen almost all the way shut. What the fuck? Like, not only have I been having, like, these episodes with some very intense headaches and not being able to stretch my back out, and then, like, what? Why? What happened? I cannot think of anything that has happened that would cause my, just one eye, just, well, thankfully, just one eye, my left eye, it's horrendous, which is why I am literally not on camera right now, because I am too embarrassed and self-conscious, because it's awful. What the fuck? So you know what? I'm going to drink about it. And what I am drinking is quite delicious. It is the Farmstead Choke Cherry Cider. Also, I love that these come in kind of sparkling bottles, like sparkling wine bottles. They do have a crown cap. Well, this one has a crown cap. I think the other one has an actual cork. It's a beautiful, really rich red shade. It's 7.5 ABV. Ooh, it smells tart and tangy with like intense red fruit notes underlying, like apple blossom. Ooh. That's a stupid good sip. It is nice and dry. It is lightly effervescent. I wouldn't say it's like full on bubbly, but it's just got this like beautiful little tingle going on, which is, it's delightful. I think this would make a really fantastic cocktail as well, because it is really elegant and nice in and of itself. It wouldn't overwhelm something. This is it's delightful. And I'm excited to ask you what choke cherries are in a little bit.
Yeah.
But Ian, what is in your glass and what sours your mash this week?
Well, excuse me. Oh, wow, right there. Perfect timing. I'm drinking a Farmstead Yellowstone cider, and this is made with 100% crab apples, all from around the borders of Yellowstone. We couldn't pick apples, and there aren't really any apples to speak of in Yellowstone, but all around the national park are these old homesteads where they planted tons of trees because they were required by law, actually, through the Homestead Act, to plant fruit trees in order to take claim to land. And so a lot of times we find these old trees that have just been dropping their fruit on the ground for the last sometimes 50 years or more. And, you know, if we can harvest those that fruit, a lot of times it allows us to use really cool flavors that are of apple varieties that are not around so much anymore. But also it's really cool to kind of find a little piece of history. And often for me, the most satisfying part of it all is to engage with the landowner who has those apple trees on their land and to teach them like how great these fruits are and how they shouldn't be forgotten. And so for me, a real win is if we can, you know, teach someone to care about their trees and then they stop letting us harvest it because they are going to use it for whatever reason. And that happens quite often once people realize, oh, I can eat these apples. So putting myself out of a job. But yeah, the Yellowstone cider is super tart. A lot of tannins. So a lot of crab apples have tannins and a lot of apples, you know, cider makers from around the world use tannic apples, less so here in the U.S. But because we have all these old fruits, often from pre-prohibition era, we do get a chance to have a lot of tannins in there. So, and same with this one as the chokecherry, it's nothing super sparkling, but it's all fermented in the bottle. It's all bottle conditioned. So we get this kind of low level bubble that steadily releases rather than a forced carbonated product, which will lose much of its carbonation really quickly. And then you're drinking kind of a more of a still version of it once you're done. So yeah, you can't really see the bubbles in there, but they're still going for it. And we try to do a lot of bottle conditioning because we just think the quality of the carbonation is much better and a little slower release. Plus it's kind of a little froth on top. So anyways, yeah, that's what's in my glass. And then, yeah, what sours my mash? Shoot, let me think about this. I just said shoot instead of shit because I felt like I was supposed to, but I was supposed to leave that at the door. So, yeah, shit. What really grinds my gears is, you know, trying to teach people about cider it's really fun, but it's also exhausting because cider is not known in this country as being dry for the most part. And it's not known for being in wine bottles or in a sparkling presentation. And I just find myself constantly having to educate people and say, hey, you know, all the cider you've been drinking that's maybe mass produced or maybe for a sweeter palate, it's not the only way that it has to be made. And we use natural fermentation, so all wild yeast. And we really focus on, you know, showing off the flavors of these unique apples that we work with. And I find that sugar just masks all those flavors. And so once you can educate people and say, hey, ciders can be really dry, they can be really interesting, they can be consumed like a wine and appreciated like a wine, I definitely find myself becoming exhausted with that narrative over and over and over again because it's such a small industry and people do not have a good sense of the wide range of offerings that are out there in the cider world. So I'm a cider evangelist, but also a cider complainer, because I'm like, you guys, just try it. You're gonna like it. It's dry. It's not sweet. You can drink a few of them and not get hungover right away. There's nothing in it. It's all, you know, it's all just apple juice and yeast. So no other additives, no other chemicals or anything like that. So it's a nice clean product. And just sip it and quit your belly aching, you know?
Yeah, I was already thinking before you said any of that, I could drink so much more of your cider than anything that's sweet. Like, I can have a can or a drink of a sweeter style cider. This, I feel like I could easily sip on for a good long time, like over the course of an evening or a beautiful afternoon, because totally. It is more approachable. It isn't sickly sweet. It's not sweet at all, but it's really refreshing.
Yeah, that's what we're shooting for. I'm glad you said that. And, you know, it just takes, it's an uphill battle to kind of make people realize that there's different ways to make anything. And by being in a smaller niche of an already niche category, it's like, it's just an uphill battle and a lot of work. So I get pretty tired of it, but it is the my cross to bear here. So, you know.
Well,
Justin, how about you, my friend?
Yes and no. It's also our cross to bear. We've been trying to educate people on cider for years. And the I will say this. The only thing worse than the craft spirits industry as far as marketing and information is the cider industry.
Holy shit, yeah.
Not your fault, not you particularly, but not the industry's fault. Cider, you're right. It's not typically seen as, as much as bourbon has that lore of being your grandfather's drink with a leather chair and a cigar, and you've got a mustache and a monocle, and it's all dark leather and a dark room, and that's the lore behind bourbon, not the reality. Cider, I think, has a very different mythology and lore to it, where it's like, okay, yeah, they were drinking kegs of cider during the American Revolution, and then that's it. It's like, no, cider didn't go away. We just consumed it differently. We're down to collaborate on that and get people educated on cider, which is why nice. I made a cocktail. Also because I had a bunch of shit on my desk. So I took some pistachio syrup from Amaretti. Shout out to my people at Amaretti for giving me these amazing syrups. So a little pistachio syrup, cognac, because again, randomly on my desk. And I took the choke cherry cider as well. I shook that up, and I forgot that I actually put a little bit of amaretto in the shaker earlier. And so that kind of just stayed there with the ice.
Nice.
Oh my God, you didn't clean your shaker, Justin?
No, literally, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make this with amaretto. And then I was like, I changed my mind, but I forgot to spill it.
Oh, okay.
That's, yeah, no. I clean my
shaker.
Happy accident.
Oh, yeah. So, I did eventually spill it, and then there was still some left. So, like a little in the bottom of the shaker. But I do actually bought and installed a glass washer a couple of weeks ago. When we were rebuilding, I can't speak today. We were rebuilding, that is a very fun thing to say, all like pretty much everything under the sink. So I was like, we got it, let's do it. Let's install the glass, glass washer. But anyway, this cocktail is remarkably refreshing. And it's the choke cherry that makes it so. Otherwise, it's just syrup and cognac. And this is, honestly, this is a brilliant summer sipper. I don't know if you can see it very well. I could easily see this at Thanksgiving even. It's got a tiny bit of nuttiness. I think I need to add maybe a little more syrup just to add some sweetness. The cider is bone dry, which is amazing. And it has this fruit forwardness, this kind of berry-esque, not berry, but like berry-esque almost. And I love the color on this, choke cherry cider. So let's, I sours my mash. When did professional ghosting become a thing?
Oh my God. Fuck.
When in my day, and I understand I'm not ancient, but in my day, my father's day and in my grandfather's day, when you made an appointment, you kept it, unless there was an emergency, in which case you left the secretary behind to, and I know that's not in use, but behind to explain, hey, Mr. Blah, blah, blah has gone to a thing, you know, apologies, or a note, or an email, or as things got, more technology savvy, text messages, or an app, or a bat signal, or carrier pigeon.
Anything.
A Mongolian writer from, the Genghis Khan times, like send somebody with a fucking message,
Oh my God, yeah.
Just somebody. So professional ghosting, like I'm not dating anymore. I'm married happily, thank fucking God. But yeah, ghosting in relationships, that's one thing. Okay, fine, you go out, whatever. I've never really been ghosted that way. The past 3 years, maybe, I think, since COVID, I don't know if that's an attitude that is prevalent now, where people are just like, oh, I don't have to finish this conversation.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I don't want to be a part of this conversation anymore, so I'm just not going to engage. I would much prefer, as an adult, someone send me a text saying one of the following things. Dear Justin, there's no synergy. Dear Justin, fuck off, love, blank, whatever. Any of these things is perfectly acceptable. and anything in that range between sincerely apologies or fuck off is perfectly fine over just a complete ghost.
1,000,000%.
Totally.
It is the most unprofessional thing you can do, because you can always make more money. You can always make more product if you have to, if you need to, unless you're like cider, it's very cyclical, so you can't just go out and pick more apples. You can maybe buy apples or buy juice from somewhere, but the one thing you really can't give back or get back is time. And so people wasting your time and then ghosting is beyond disrespectful. And that is what sours a mash.
Oh my God. Wow. I can't believe, you know, I think I was so angry that this has been happening so much. I just kind of blocked it out, but this happened to me, well, so many times, but particularly this week. There was a place I had set up an appointment. They gave me the time and the place, and I confirmed, I sent them a text message, and then I also left them a voicemail that said, hey, I haven't heard back from the text message, but I did just want to confirm I am going to be there tomorrow. If something has come up, that's fine. Please just let me know. It is an hour away. I don't want to waste anyone's time, aka my fucking time. So I get up also hella early for Julia because it is an hour drive away, you know, get there. Ah, and the lights were on and someone was there and I'm like, oh, okay, great. Woo. Well, I get inside and it's not the person. I'm like, is the person on their way? And he's like, no. And he got in contact with that person. Oh my God. And he never showed. He never showed. I waited around for 15 minutes. And then the guy who was actually there was like, oh yeah, he texted me back. He said he's not going to be here. Oh my fucking Christ. Oh, I was livid. Normally, I just let shit go. But no, I wrote to him and I'm like, oh, because he texted me because he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. We've just been so busy. I didn't have time to respond. It takes 0.2 fucking seconds to respond to a goddamn motherfucking text, bitches. Okay? Okay?
Seriously. Maybe this shouldn't have been my sours or mash. I'd like to do a new sours my mash.
Nope. Okay. We're just going to.
No, this one's right on.
Drink, and we're gonna move on because I'm actually excited to have you in here, and I don't want to turn him off just because of my rage.
Well, we face this a lot as well. Like we have tons of accounts that carry our cider, and I swear, like, everyone is so busy that they can't answer any texts or calls or emails, and I didn't. I guess we got into this industry in 2017, and then the pandemic, we really got going in 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. So maybe this is a result of the pandemic. I don't know. But it's gotten to be the point where I just expect a ghost, and I just lean into it as much as possible by saying, I'm just going to keep killing these people with kindness. And I just keep showing up at your liquor store, and you're not there. You said you'd be there on Tuesdays and Wednesdays or from 10 to 3 or whatever it is. And I show up and they're not there. Well, I just keep showing up ruthlessly, although I find it unbelievably frustrating. And it's like, isn't this part of what your business is? If you're a restaurant, if you're a bar, if you're a liquor store, is to keep your product, you know, on your shelf, A, and then, you know, also B, just like know about your products a little bit. And oh, yeah. We're here to share it. It's like, so in my response to the ghosting, which has just been absolutely, this industry seems to be rife with it. Mm-hmm. I just keep sending those emails, keep showing up, and doing my best to do the opposite of that. Now, I must admit, Orion scheduled this interview with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
We got our notification, you know, earlier this afternoon, and I was like, I called Orion, and I couldn't get a hold of him, and then I, you know, finally got a hold of him and was like, is there an interview this today? And he said, oh, yeah. And so I was like, I got you. So we didn't ghost, but there was the... There's a tiny little possibility that it could have happened.
But you didn't.
No, we didn't.
So this rant is not about you.
No, not at all. No. I had taken over for a buyer at a small grocery outlet in Chicago some years back. And the way they had their setup is reps would show up on certain days and they would wait all day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fucking stupid. I'm wasting someone's time while I'm letting Southern. I had 11 Southern reps. For those of you who don't know, Southern Wine and Spirits, Southern Glacier now, they have 1,600 divisions
of
different bullshit.
That's excessive.
And so they would send different reps, same company, different reps for different divisions. And I'm like, can I just get a key account person? And I did the same thing with all the other. There's three now. I think there's really only two at this point. There's Breakthrough is number three. But the big three, they have, they will have key account people, obviously, for certain things. But I changed it immediately. I was like, look, we're not going to do it this way. You're going to text me. Hey, I've got some new stuff. We're going to set appointments. We're going to schedule this so that I'm not, you're not sitting there. I'd have five or six reps waiting.
Yeah.
While I'm listening to all these things, I'm like, look, there's three things you can do. You can drop off bottles. You can present as a group if you want to. Most of them said no. Like, you know, they don't want to, like, it's super fucking top secret. That's another thing. Like, I'm sorry, but your New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc is no different than theirs. They're bottled by the same company, just owned by two different conglomerates
that
import them into two different account services here in the United States, and they're distributed by two different companies. I'm literally tasting the same stuff.
Yeah.
But you can't tell them that to their face. I was told it was rude. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk cider. We're not here to rant about the industry. That is a different podcast altogether.
I feel like we need to have a two-parter continuing on this.
Probably.
But for now, let's get back to Ian and Farmstead Cider.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Tell us everything. How did the idea come about? Why cider? Why Wyoming? Why choke cherries? Why married? Why family? Why? Go.
I'm also hella interested. Save bears, drink cider.
Yeah. Why are we saving bears? And don't tell my wife.
It's one of those things that it's real easy to save bears if all you have to do is drink cider. It makes it a little bit simpler than whatever else might entail saving bears, you know? So, yeah, no, I'm an Aquarius, so we can start there.
Yes.
And, you know, born in a big snowstorm here in Wyoming, pretty proud of that. I feel like because my parents couldn't make it home from the hospital, they got to stay a little extra time in the hospital. I got the, you know, the real cush treatment, and a 10-foot blizzard is a great excuse to hang out in the hospital for a few more days.
That's but, a Tuesday up there, isn't it?
What's that?
10-foot blizzard, that's a Tuesday up there, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's just the start. That's the appetizer.
Jeez.
So I grew up in Wyoming here in Jackson Hole, and it's a pretty wild place to grow up in terms of wild animals, but also it's wild how crazy this town has become as, you know, the wealth has sort of taken over and turned this sort of small country town into a big name destination. But at the same time, I really love it here. I still know all the nooks and crannies to go where the tourists don't. And we've sort of forged this business because, well, you know, to sort of tell the whole story, I used to work in the wine industry in Napa and Sonoma counties. I worked in a ton of different wineries, had a great time post-college, post-2008 financial crisis, just making booze and pruning vineyards and learning everything there was about the wine industry. The only problem was the wine industry was extremely, how should I say it, tight-lipped about everything and very competitive and extremely expensive and just a litany of different things that made it inaccessible to me, at least my personality. And there's so many rules about things and how things are made and done. And I was like, well, it was really cool learning the industry, but I think I'm going to take my organic farming skills that I gained from working in a diversified farm that had vineyards and winery, as well as a whole bunch of other crops and orchards and animals and things like that. And I'm like, I'm going to go back to Wyoming and try and do some organic farming and start a little market garden. My garden's actually out over my shoulder over here. And we still do a lot of that gardening stuff. But once I moved back here, my old friend and former business partner of a different business, Orion, and I started to notice all the apples on the trees. And when we were growing up here, like, we didn't really think about apples or any fruit except for huckleberries as growing here. So I didn't have much hope for growing fruit, but I started to realize how many crabapple trees there were. And then once I started noticing the crabapple trees, I started noticing sweet, you know, dessert apple varieties growing in places. And it took not too long to realize that there was a huge amount of fruit being grown in our county here that was just falling on the ground every year. And so we started to experiment with making cider. And, you know, making cider is not much different than making wine. You're using fruit juice, a fruit source, and you're fermenting it with yeast. And when it's done, and it's very similar to winemaking. So we started pressing apples with this tiny little press that Orion and his wife got for their wedding registry. They didn't think anyone would buy it for them. They just put it on there, and then suddenly it was like, bing, a tiny little basket press showed up on their front door. So we went out and picked a ton of apples from random trees that I'd found and started smashing the fruit up in buckets with 2x4s because we didn't have any infrastructure, and pressing the juice up. And both of our wives are from the East Coast, so they really appreciated that sort of like, you know, fall apple harvest feeling that you get from pressing cider. And so we'd drink a bunch of it sweet, and then we'd ferment a little bit of it afterwards to see how it went. And things just started turning out so well. It was a combination of realizing that making cider was very similar to winemaking, but also discovering how much fruit was available to us. And it was a really serendipitous sort of, you know, stroke of alignment of stars and things like that, where right when we started doing this, we started to have more bears showing up in our town. Now, growing up here, there were always some black bears around, and you know, black bears are not as big of a concern for human conflict as grizzly bears. There were never any grizzly bears here in Jackson Hole. They're all up in Yellowstone, in Grand Teton National Park, which is just north of us. But there was never a presence of grizzly bears like right in town. So right when we started doing this, we started picking apples and talking to people and saying like, "Hey, can I pick all these apples off your tree?" And they're like, "What is? I have an apple tree." And I'd be like, "Yeah, check it out." And they'd say, "Sure, take them all." And then someone would say, "I make pies with my apples." And I'm like, "Well, there's 800 pounds of apples here. Do you want them all?" And they're like, "Well, no, I'll take a pie's worth." And so we started to realize like how much fruit was just out there, and all of it was falling on the ground. And simultaneously, a very famous bear, although you don't hear those words very often, it's not Yogi Bear, although he was in Jellystone, I guess, but a very famous bear, romantically named 399 from the Fish and Game's like registry number. 399 has been around for, you know, I'm 38, so, and she's 26, I think, right now. And so Bear 399 has been around for a long time, and she's very well known for basically navigating the human space up in the national parks very effectively, so people could take a lot of pictures of her, and she never got into trouble through getting into dumpsters and things like that. And she became really well known from a photographer and photography perspective. But then this charismatic bear just kept having cubs and coming out of the den with cubs and walking around getting all these great pictures. Well, in 2020, 399 came out of her den with four cubs. So it was a herd of bears, her and her four cubs. And she just, for the first time, descended from Grand Teton National Park and came and started to explore Jackson Hole as a place to show her cubs where to find food and where to survive and things like that. And there had been some issues with bears leading up to this, and we had been interfacing with the county to say, "All right, we can pick some fruit in these areas. We got a grant to, you know, pay us to pick the fruit in certain neighborhoods." And so
Nice.
we were kind of poised to, when 399 showed up, to create an urban orchard through all sorts of permissions granted from private landowners all around the county who said, "I have an apple tree. It falls on the ground. Here's my permission." They would go on our website and submit their permission and their sign a little thing that said, you know, "You can come and pick these apples." And our urban orchard just exploded from a handful of trees to several hundred trees throughout the county. So we're very thankful to the bears for that, like for expanding our orchard and allowing us to pick all this cool fruit. And we also realized that like the whole point of our efforts were to remove the fruit before it fell on the ground and became an attractant for these animals. And so we had systems in place to do it. And as the urban orchard expanded, that was right when we were trying to expand the business as well. And so we were able to harvest, you know, ungodly amounts of fruit from all over the county. We'd ask people if they spray their trees or if they fertilize their trees. 99% of them say no. Most of them didn't even know that they really had a tree. I would usually spot it from the road and then go knock on their door and be like, "Hey, how are you? I would like to pick your apple tree." They would say, "Go for it." And if we remove the fruit, then there's less of an attraction for bears. And so we found that it's not a solution to, you know, saving bear and human conflict from happening, but it's a piece of the puzzle. And by removing a bunch of fruit, there's a lot less reason for a bear to come into a neighborhood and then maybe eat some apples and then maybe get into a trash can or into a garage or something like that. So we're just like one line of defense. But the whole point is to, by drinking our cider, you can help promote our efforts to remove animal attractants so that these bears don't get into trouble in a neighborhood and then ultimately get, you know, usually the solution is euthanization to remove a problem bear. So by removing the fruit, we can remove some of that conflict and help. And ultimately, communicating with all those landowners is a great conversation opportunity to educate people and say, "Hey, you live in a wild place. There's animals all around, and some small actions on your part can do a lot to keep these animals alive and keep our home the wild place that we love it for." So, yeah.
That's amazing. Absolutely love that. Well done. That makes me so excited and so happy that you guys not only produce like awesome product, but you're helping the wildlife in the process. And that
yeah.
Stemmed from that. So that's really, really awesome. I raise a glass to you, my friend. Cheers.
Cheers. No, thank you guys. Thanks for helping us spread the word. You know, it's a very local product. We sell it, you know, not in a huge wide region, just mainly around the Rockies. And then we do have some accounts in California as well, because they're bottle drinking people. So, you know, we put our ciders in bottles. It's like, go to the people who like to consume things from bottles.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it's one of those things where it's a small story about a small town, but I think ultimately everyone can relate to the idea that, you know, it's important to make a small effort. It doesn't take a large effort to coexist with the natural world around you or with the people around you, with the people of different political divide or different perspectives on anything in life. It's just a small reminder that it takes tiny little adjustments in our lives to have a much better opportunity to coexist.
Well, Ian, I feel like we have barely scratched the fucking surface on what you're doing and all that you have to share about cider with us. So, executive decision, we're going to make this a two-parter. Before we sign off, let our audience know where they can find you, where they can follow you, and learn more about your product.
Yeah, for sure. So we, you know, we have all the, well, not all of them. We're not on Snapchat. I've never snapped or chatted before. And I've never tweeted, actually, which I guess you don't do that anymore at all anyways. But Instagram is a good place to find a lot of our sort of like, you know, visual outreach in the social media world. And then our website, farmsteadyo.com, is a great place to learn about us. And then also you can order all of our products through our website. We ship to, I want to say it's like 44 states, something like that. There's a handful that have liquor laws that are still stuck in prohibition, so we can't send to some of those states, but yeah, we have a pretty wide wide net there. And then if you're ever in Jackson, all the liquor stores around here and a bunch of the restaurants carry our ciders. You can try them if you're ever cruising through.
Amazing.
There,
well,
it is.
Ramblers, thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to tune in next time, because we are not done hearing all about Farmstead cider and all of the glorious things that they are doing. So be sure to tune in next time when we talk about those assholes who only want sweet ciders. Those bastards.
Totally.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Download almost anywhere. Join our Facebook group and follow us at Swig and Ramble on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter for more fermented fuckery. Cheers.